Hello, neighbors. I'm Kasha.
And I'm Brittany.
And welcome to our first ever episode of Murder Next Door. Woo! How are you doing today?
I'm doing fine. It was a lovely day out today, not to small talk you a bit. But, you know, sun is shining finally. It feels like it's been forever.
I know. We've been working on this for a while now.
Yeah.
A month, I think, we've been in the process. So.
Yeah.
Excited to finally start.
Seriously, we are so excited to finally be here and recording for you guys. It has been, you know, like she said, a month in the making, but there's been so much to go into it. I feel like people don't really see how much goes into starting up a podcast. It's way more than you think. It's not just like hitting record on an iPhone and continuing on.
The research alone takes a while.
Like, I know. And then trying to piece it all together into something that makes sense.
Making sure that everything is understandable and multiple different stories. You have to figure out which one's the truth and which one's just a story.
And we'd like to say a big thank you to everyone who's been supporting us along the way to our startup. You guys have all been waiting so patiently for this very moment.
Especially our coworkers at Momentum. You guys have been there with us from the start. Talking to you, Ross, you know, always asking us when we're starting, if you can listen to any sneak peeks that we have.
Which, of course, you always can. Let's be honest.
Yeah. You are number one supporter. We do have quite a case for you today. For some of us, it takes place close to home in Toby Hanna, Pennsylvania, obviously. Hence why we're murder next door, because... Yeah.
Some murder right in your backyard, guys. But seriously, this is something you feel like you'd see on an episode of Criminal Minds or Law and Order or your local crime show. But this is real life, y'all. So strap in, because this case is a bit of a doozy. I know you did the main research for this case, and I was getting calls and texts like all the time, be like, okay, so I found the arrest report, and it's like 34 pages long. But I got it. It's fine.
I read it all. It's okay. It's hard to believe this happened here. Like, it really feels like a made-up story, but yeah, it happened.
You never believe that something can happen literally next door to you. You don't believe it. You want to see the good in everyone. But, you know, things get a little spooky.
Well, I know we're excited, and hopefully you are too. So
let's get bloody. On January 29th, 2008, a forensic service unit of the PA State Police was called to multiple crime scenes along Route 380 and Route 80. State troopers found black garbage bags with blue ties. The contents of all of these bags contained different body parts of a woman. The only thing they didn't find in those bags was her hands.
Crazy, because that is a road I drive on almost every day.
Yeah, and like anytime we want to go to a little Target, I'll be driving on that too. Most of the body parts were cleanly severed, probably with a saw or knife. They were actually pretty clean, like no blood on them at all. I hope some of you caught on to the word most, though, because there was blood and jagged cuts in the shoulder area of the woman's body where the neck and head were separated from the torso. This body was sent off for an autopsy and rape kit, and dental records were used to help confirm the ID of the remains, which leads us to Deanna Null.
Deanna Null, a 36-year-old woman from Scranton, PA, was born on October 17th in 1971. She was a loving mother to four children, always had a smile on her face, and from the pictures shared online, it was definitely a big, warm, welcoming smile.
Like, picture your average, happy woman living her best life.
Times 10.
And that's what you get.
Yeah. Every picture. Like, times 10. She had medium brown hair that framed her face with an average build. She always helped others, even when she had nothing to give. She grew up in Williamsport and loved to play soccer and roller skate.
I would love to learn how to roller skate. I'm sorry to interject, but I have a pair of really fancy roller skates. And if anybody in the PA area wants to teach me how to roller skate, you know what our socials are.
Honestly, I will record it and I will post it online for everybody to see.
But only on the Murder Next Door. You can't see it anywhere else.
Exclusive content right here. Right here. Falling down roller skating.
Yeah, it's I will fall down a lot. The only times I've ever been on a roller skate, I fall backwards all the time.
Honestly, 10 likes and we'll go and roller skate. That's it.
One just like 10. Just a single like.
And I'll do it. It's okay. Well, just as everyone else does, she had some demons. She struggled with alcohol and drug use, but she still did everything she could for her children. Her family did try to get her help, but ultimately, the children ended up staying with other relatives. I'd like to say that just because she was using drugs, it doesn't make any of this okay or her fault. The only person to blame is the person who murdered her.
And I feel like nowadays, especially as social media goes more public and it's hard to keep your lives private, there is a lot of victim blaming going on, just especially overall. And no matter what you do in your private life, it doesn't make you at fault for getting hurt or harassed or even, you know, murdered.
Yeah, it's never okay. Murder's murder.
Seriously. All right, so not only did the autopsy help ID Deanna, but it was also revealed that there were multiple wounds that she endured. She had marks and swelling on her face from blunt force trauma. This was probably caused by being hit repeatedly with a hand or a fist. There were also multiple lacerations on the back of her head from being struck with some kind of crowbar or pipe. The autopsy also revealed not one, not two, but 12 fractured ribs from being stomped and hemorrhaging in her throat, indicating strangulation. And I've got some bad news, guys. The autopsy also revealed that all of this happened to her while she was still alive.
Which is crazy, because how can you do that to a person while they're still looking at you, mind you? Like, yeah.
And I just, my heart feels for her, because the amount of, you know, pain she was in and the amount of strength it took to probably hang on, it's just completely unfair.
She was fighting for her life. Mm-hmm. Point blank fighting.
And, you know, with the brutality of this case, at this point, police are working hard to find who did this. A man named Joseph told police he introduced Deanna to a man who was looking for drugs and a prostitute in Scranton around January. He also gave a detailed description of the car the man drove, a dark-colored sedan with a vinyl roof.
On February 7th, 2008, a state trooper that was looking for the car that was described saw a dark blue Mercury Grand Marquis parked at 131 Prospect Street in Toby Hanna. After looking up the license plate, he saw it was registered to Charles Hicks. After this discovery, the investigation on Hicks came to a stop while police looked at other leads.
The first time she read this, I was very annoyed. Because why would you have this suspect tell you about a man that knew Deanna? And you're just like, I found the man. But you know what? Let's pursue other leads. Let's not follow this lead first. Let's just go somewhere else. What were they thinking?
Wasting time. Seriously. That's what that was. So Charles Ray Hicks was a 34-year-old African-American born in Texas, now living in Toby Hanna. He always looked out for his parents, sister, and nephew. He played high school football and got into bodybuilding. Other than that, there's not much we can find on him. A man named Anthony came forward and stated that Hicks brought Deanna to his home around January 25th and that they stayed only a couple hours. They both left Anthony's home, only for Hicks to return later alone. Anthony describes Deanna's behavior as nervous and withdrawn, which wasn't her normal outgoing demeanor.
Which, we're gonna circle back to the fact that they ignored Charles Hicks even after Anthony came forward. And said that Hicks was the last person to see Deanna alive,
yes,
besides himself.
Mm-hmm.
So, after all of the witness testimonies, a month later, a whole month, eyes are back on Hicks. Police follow Hicks to a parking lot and deliver the search warrant for his car. He willingly goes back to the police barracks for an interview. During the interview, he admitted that he knew Deanna was a prostitute in Scranton and that he'd been with her only once or twice, and he denied ever being violent with Deanna. And so at this point, the police were like, okay, bud, sure. And they check Hicks' car, and they uncover bloodstained boots in the trunk and blood on the passenger seat, both of which Hicks claimed he didn't know how the blood got on either of those.
I would like to say, if police eyes weren't on you for a month and you know you have, you know, shoes in the back seat of your car, right? Or trunk,
yeah,
with blood on them, why would you keep them there? But I guess, you know, he said he didn't know how that got there.
Yeah, but so, that's what I'm saying. Like, how are you going to use that as your excuse at all? Like, oh man, I guess maybe somebody planted them. I don't know how that
got
like
there. A month, you're telling me you never used your trunk
at all
in a month?
No groceries, nothing.
And it was on the front seat. like the passenger seat.
And you had to have seen that. So he just really thought that he wouldn't get caught for these murders. He thought that he was golden. With this evidence in the car, which he didn't know how it got there, a warrant for the house was secured. A dog from New York was brought in to sniff around for more evidence. The dog didn't detect anything else on the car or outside of the house, but as soon as they got inside the house, the dog alerted on a briefcase in the living room. That briefcase held a very detailed, hand-drawn map of Scranton.
Which is weird, because why not just print it out, go to the store, buy one? Why do you have to draw it up?
Oh, yeah, exactly. But that wasn't the only place the dog hit. He had also hit in the corner of the basement. In the basement, police found a saw blade, medium-length brown hair, and skin particles on a scrub brush. The DNA from the hair and skin matched Deanna, and the search continued. In the attic, they found unused black garbage bags with blue ties. If you guys would remember back to the start of this episode, that is what Deanna's body was found in. In the bathroom of the house, a pair of hands were found wrapped in socks and newspapers from February 4th, 2008, and then placed in Ziploc bags. They were actually found inside a large access panel for the bathroom's plumbing. The fingerprints matched Deanna's prints.
Which, let's circle back to the month of no eyes on him. Why would you keep all this? Why?
Souvenirs.
Yeah, but if you didn't murder her.
Yeah, but he thinks he's going to get away with it, and he wants souvenirs from what he got away with.
I don't know. Hands are weird. That's a weird thing to keep.
Yeah, but people are also into feet.
Especially it's.
I'm sorry, it's the truth.
I was going to say, they're not even in anything. Like, a month, they probably smell so bad.
Well, that's the thing. What does he care?
I don't know. If I'm using the bathroom every single day and I have to go in there and smell it.
Just put fucking nose plugs. I don't know.
Gross.
I know. No, it's disgusting. What he did was absolutely disgusting. And my heart reaches out to her family, too.
Yeah. Also, the newspapers that were used to, you know, wrap her hands in, they're from an article about a woman murdered in Texas, which... He lived in Texas.
That's a little suspicious, if you ask me.
Just a little bit.
And if it is suspicious, again, why would you wrap these hands, these decomposing hands, in a newspaper about a murdered woman? Like, what, did he just want ambiance?
Coincidence. Just gotta make the story better, I guess.
Oh, of course. You just gotta make it more detailed.
Hicks was then taken into custody and charged with murder. Now, good. During the...
good.
Took him long enough.
Yeah.
Now, during the trial, he admitted to dismembering and scattering Deanna's remains, but he denies murdering her.
This upsets me so much. Why would you admit to dismembering her and scattering her? Like, yeah, no, I did that, but I didn't murder her. That's too far.
Well, they tried to say she died of an overdose, and he was just scared that he wouldn't get caught because she overdosed with him, so he just wanted to get rid of these.
Oh, yeah.
The body.
But then I'm going to keep the hands because why?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Defense did try to say she died of an overdose, but evidence clearly showed otherwise with the brutal beating that she took. Now, during the trial, 8 other women that Hicks had sexual or prostitutional-type relationships with were brought in as evidence of bad behavior. The women testified to Hicks' alleged assaults. Some of these assaults included beating, choking, and threatening them with weapons. Hicks' lawyer filed a motion to exclude the women's testimonies, so the court ordered proof for each of the 8 witnesses. The Commonwealth filed proof for 7 of the 8 witnesses, but only 3 testimonies were admissible in court. Deanna and the witnesses had very similar body types and were all drug users who Hicks showed sexual interest in, which is very weird. He clearly had a type.
Oh, yeah.
And very aggressive.
And we think it's important, although this case is about Deanna, we are going to list these 3 victims that were admissible in court because their stories matter, too.
So, first one was Kim Alston, then Karen Lavelle, and Misty K. Chavez. One of the testimonies from Misty K. Chavez actually described an incident where Hicks was angry with her and reached over the center console of the car to choke her. When she tried to open the door to escape, he told her to shut it or he'd kill her. The same witness testified that a year later she received a call from Hicks where he said, and I quote, I hurt her, Misty. I hurt her. She stated that she could also hear a female screaming in the background of the call.
I just think it's wild, because we don't know for sure if, you know, that was Deanna in the background or if that was another woman getting the same abuse that all these other girls did.
Yeah. There's no way to know.
No.
He did speak to some reporters, and there's speculation that he might have killed five other women in Texas, but as of right now, there's no proof, no anything else. It's just...
Yeah. The only connection that we would have to these murders is the fact that her hands, Deanna's hands, were wrapped in that newspaper showing some of these crimes.
Mm-hmm. Finally, at the end of the trial, Hicks was convicted of first-degree murder, tampering with evidence, and abuse of corpse. He was also given the death sentence, but he's not yet been executed. He's just chilling in prison, I guess.
And Hicks did file for an appeal, but not for, you know, getting rid of the death sentence. No. Hicks filed an appeal to get rid of the witness testimonies, proving that he was a bad person.
Gotta keep up that image.
Yeah. You know, murdering Deanna, that was fine for him. But the idea of anybody at all, you know, proving that he was an asshole, that's too much.
That's too much. But at least they found her killer, and he is behind bars, just not where he's supposed to be.
Do we have a confirmed death sentence date?
Nope.
Wow, so he hasn't even been... He's just getting to live.
Not even a date. He's just in a maximum security prison. In PA.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah. That's it. He's just... I don't know. Maybe he's just going to live out his life there.
I hope not. But seriously, our heart does go out to all of the victims of Charles Hicks and their families. Deanna's family didn't really comment at all during this case because of her previous history. But our hearts still go out to them because they did still lose a daughter and, you know, a sibling. So that can never be easy.
And her children lost a mother.
Yeah.
That's crazy. But those victims, just because they were prostitutes, you know, he still abused them. Wrong. They should charge him for that too, but I guess they won't.
I guess we'll just have to take the wins that we do get. And hope that one day Charles Hicks gets the fate that he deserves.
Yeah.
Controversial opinion there, but...
Yeah. I'd say this was a interesting case.
Yeah, I mean, there is so much that goes into this case. So much in the police report. So much in the testimonies. We didn't mention any of the other non-admissible witnesses, but those are available to the public as well.
Mm-hmm.
We did just want to keep it as relevant as possible, but there is nothing clean and happy about this case at all. Despite the jokes that, you know, we throw around, it's very important that as a podcast, you guys know this is serious and this happens every day.
Everywhere. Clearly.
Yeah. Even close to home.
Right here.
So not to sound super, what is the word?
Downer.
Yeah, but Keeper, what's about you?
Yeah. I mean, granted, now every single time I drive on the road and I see a garbage bag, it's like, could there be a person in there?
Mm-hmm.
How many?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't know.
You don't know who you're sitting next to.
Are you a murderer?
I don't know. Are you?
We'll have to find out.
In the next episode?
Next episode will be about me. And my murder.
Obviously. But thank you all so much for listening. If you like what you hear and you want to see more of us, follow us on all of our social medias. They're linked below in the podcast description. And make sure to interact with us because next week we're going to start our social media follower of the week, which means, you know, if you comment something funny or you
share
tweet
a post,
any kind of like support, we're going to shout you out because we appreciate any interaction you guys have with us. So I guess technically our first social media follower of the week was Ross, even though it's not social media.
Social media, Ross, please get on that.
Yeah.
Please follow us on TikTok.
Because you could just be our social media follower of the week every week, obviously.
You know, maybe we'll get you in on one of these videos for your comments.
Oh, yeah. Just like off on the futon to our right, we could put him there and you guys could see all of it. Or yeah. I guess hear all of it, too. That's a reminder. We are uploading a video of this podcast
on YouTube.
our YouTube is Murder Next Door the Pod. Mm-hmm. That'll also be linked in the description below. We're going to post those at the same time.
Some funny bloopers in there as well.
Oh, my God.
Also on TikTok. Definitely on TikTok.
She definitely tried to throw her microphone off of the table.
Listen.
Got a little overzealous because we were so excited. They were officially done with our first week of launch. This has been kind of like anxiety-inducing, but in a really good way.
It's weird. This started off as just like a little comment when we were at a podcast show.
Shout out to Red Handed. Love
you. Yeah, we were there and we were like, wait, we can do this. And we did it.
And we want to just say, you know, our first couple episodes might not be perfect, but we appreciate any feedback, any support, anything you're willing to give us, because the only thing we can do is improve. But we're going to be uploading an episode every Tuesday. So keep a lookout for us, whether you're on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or however we send this to Ross, because I'm still a little confused. He's just going to get it like an email JPEG or something. No, we're just going to
print it. We're going to print it out for him.
No. We just give him a flash drive and we're like, plug it in.
A floppy disk. I'm sorry, Ross. If you are not that old, please forgive me.
Don't forgive her. You know, the next time you make her a quesadilla burger, stick some, you know, like worms in it or something.
Ross, please don't. Anyway, you guys definitely send us recommendations. Any case you find interesting that we should do. We're not just doing local. We're just doing local for now. We want to get out the word because clearly, you know, we're from here, hometown. Want to get the word out of everybody here, especially unsolved cases.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I don't know the exact numbers, but there is at least in the thousands when it comes to murder cases in PA, and multiple hundreds of those are unsolved. Mm-hmm. And police are constantly still looking for, you know, tips. So in every episode description, we will be putting the tip line for PA so that if you guys happen to know anything about any of these cases we talk about, or your grandpa does, or your grandma does, or your sister, anybody, you know,
or you work in healthcare and somebody gives you a deathbed confession, seriously, send it in. Somebody's family is, you know,
waiting for peace. Yeah, or send it to us too, maybe, so we can hear it. Just say
we want to hear it. We'll put you in.
Yeah, exclusive
content.
But that's it. That's everything for today.
Seriously,
yeah. First episode done.
Check mark there.
And like I said, we are only going to get better from here. So
stay with us. It's going to be a rocky start, but who knows? Maybe we'll be famous, name on billboard. Then you can see us in marquee lights.
Yeah,
you've been here from the beginning.
It's going to be Ross.
Ross,
just Ross. He gets a feature on the letterboards.
That's it. He comes with us on tour.
Oh, perfect. He's our bodyguard. Ross,
personal chef. That's it.
If you're listening, personal chef and bodyguard.
We'll pay you. Don't worry, it's not free.
Maybe.
$2 an hour.
Perfect. But seriously, thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you for listening to us ramble these past couple minutes, you know. Again, any feedback, always welcome. And we will see you next Tuesday.
Goodbye.
Bye.